Welcome to this week's edition of the OHSAA Tournament Tip-Off. Now from Columbus, here is the OHSAA Radio Network's Marty Bannister.
The girls' basketball postseason got started last week all across Ohio. And now this week, the boys take their turn to get started on their path to the state tournament in Dayton. Welcome to this week's edition of the OHSA Tournament Tip-Off. I'm your host, Marty Bannister, and we will spend the next 30 minutes setting the scene for high school basketball all across Ohio. On February 15th, the OHSAA announced that the sport of basketball, along with several other sports, will expand divisions next season. Coming up, we'll sit down with OHSAA Board of Directors President Gina Franks, as well as OHSAA Executive Director Doug Ute, for an extended chat and hear what led to this historic announcement and why basketball will go from 4 to 7 divisions starting next year. We will also get reports from broadcasters around the state to get an update on the top teams in their area. But first, we'll step aside for a break for these messages from the Ohio High School Athletic Association. This is the OHSAA Tournament Tip-Off Show.
Everyone knows chocolate milk is delicious, but who knew chocolate milk was a noteworthy source of nourishment? It's packed with essential nutrients. Who knew chocolate milk was an exceptional source of energy? Plenty of protein and carbs to fuel and replenish. Who knew chocolate milk was a remarkable way to rehydrate? Water and electrolytes to replace fluids. When you're active, chocolate milk is a delicious way to nourish, energize, and rehydrate. Choose chocolate milk.
It's basketball tournament time, and the Ohio High School Athletic Association invites you to be a part of the action. Sectional, district, and regional tournaments lead to the state tournament at University of Dayton Arena. The OHSAA Girls Basketball State Tournament is March 14th, 15th, and 16th, and the boys take the court March 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. Check out OHSAA.org for brackets, tickets, and special offers. Make a trip with friends and family to UD Arena and be a part of history.
Spectrum News One, a new kind of news channel dedicated to refreshing storytelling and empowering communities across the Buckeye State. With your local forecast every 10 minutes and all of the essential news you need 24/7. Plus, in-depth shows and exclusives focused on your community. Always Ohio, always refreshing, always on. We are Spectrum News One, exclusively on Spectrum.
At the Ohio High School Athletic Association, our student athletes are going pro at being
coachable,
a good student,
responsible,
dependable,
respectful,
a good student,
dependable,
a good teammate.
Representing my school,
I'm going pro at being
a good student.
Let's go pro at respecting the game.
Respect the game.
Respect the game.
Respect the game.
The OHSAA Tournament Tip-Off Show is brought to you by the OHSAA Radio Network, which will broadcast every game from the girls' and boys' basketball state tournaments in March. The girls' state tournament is March 14th through the 16th at the University of Dayton Arena, while the boys' state tournament, also at UD Arena, runs from March 22nd through March the 24th. In addition to radio network coverage, every game from the girls' and boys' state tournaments will be covered by Spectrum, with streaming coverage at OHSAA.tv and the championship games live as well, on Spectrum News Channel 1. As we mentioned at the top of the show, the OHSAA Board of Directors made a historic announcement on February 15th with the addition of several divisions in the sports of soccer, girls volleyball, basketball, softball, and baseball. Shortly after the board voted to expand divisions, we sat down with OHSAA Board of Directors President Gina Franks and OHSAA Executive Director Doug Ute to talk about what led to the decision and what this means for the state high school basketball tournament moving forward. Take me through the steps of this, what led to this call, and what are the positives of it?
I'd start off saying it's a big day for our student athletes, and I mention them because that's what we're here for, and every decision we make is based on how it impacts our student athletes, and so we're really excited for our student athletes today. And so this process, Marty, we're a reflection of our membership here at the office, and what that means is our membership developed our constitution and what we're all about here and how we operate in this office. And so we had a lot of discussion with our membership really over the past decade plus about the disparity in particular in Division I and our tournaments and our competitive balanced sports for quite a while. And that has really intensified over the last couple years, and which had led us into, we need to take a good look at this. And I can't be more excited about how we arrived at where we're at because, you know, and I share this, my experience in the school leadership position and working with boards and, you know, building projects and all those type of things. This was big for our association. This was big for our board. And I'm really excited about in the manner in which the board went through this process. And so looking at a lot of data, talking to a lot of our member schools all across Ohio. And so it was a good process and really getting down into how different scenarios affected the athletes. And so it was a great process to go through and one in which our board and our office and our member schools didn't take lightly. And so we looked at every avenue that was possible out there. And in particular, conversations with our school. Have you looked at this? Or our schools, have you looked at this? Have you looked at that? And I can assure you everything that our member schools brought to us was discussed on and how we arrived at the 7-division model.
Gina, one of the criticisms that you hear about something like this is, why not let all the schools vote on it or talk about it? Well, basically they did with the board of directors making their decision and voting to approve this. Take us through those steps, the board, what the reaction was to this. And it, as I said with Doug, it's definitely a positive right now, but this isn't something that you just decided we're doing. The schools had a lot of input, didn't they?
They absolutely do. We heard loud and clear from our member schools that the disparity within divisions, the difference in the top of a division and the bottom of division enrollments was a big problem, especially at Division I, but several other divisions also. So we listened to them. We sat down as a board and really tried to lay out every possible scenario and think through the good for the state. And I think sometimes people get stuck on, well, what does this do to me? As a board, we tried really hard not to look at that, but to look at, if we're going to say disparity is our reason for this, and that's what we heard from the member schools, then let's just look at that. So we looked at different options for number of divisions, and when we started to map it out and say, okay, here are all our schools, are there some natural breaks? At 7, we really could see that.
It's interesting because you come from a district in Dover and a part of the state where it's not immensely populated. You have areas where there are smaller schools. So I understand from your standpoint, there had to be some questions about this as well, too, weren't there?
There were. But for the most part, even the people that I thought may be naysayers understand why we're doing it and understand the importance of it and the value of it for our student athletes.
Absolutely. Doug, you talk about this a lot. It's for the kids. And I think that's one of the things that sometimes gets overlooked when a decision like this is made. The facilities are there. There are so many positives to this, I think. But let's talk about basketball right at the top, because that's the one that's going to get the most attention about this right now. Going to 7 divisions in basketball, the positives to it, and there are many of them.
Oh, there are a lot of positives. And I think we talk about the kids and what's fair to our kids and the disparity that Gina talked about. There it exists in there. And we go around, as we went around the state, I'm looking at a lot of schools who have changed leagues in the past 30 years, maybe twice or three times or something like that. And it's all about the disparity and why they're changing leagues. It's not because they have bad blood with the school that they're in a league with. It's because one school grows and the other school is loose population. And so you remove yourself from that league because of that disparity. And so that was kind of a driving force for us in discussion is we want to put our student athletes in a tournament that school would play in that league. And so when you reflect back to 7 divisions in basketball, and Marty, I've seen you for a lot of years. You're a state basketball fan and you're a high school sport fan. Yes, yeah. We may disagree on Browns Bengals stuff, but we agree on we like that state basketball tournament. And for me, I've been going since 1977. Haven't seen every game, but I've been going there. I love that weekend, and I'm a traditionalist. It's going to change that weekend. But I also say it's not about you, Doug Ute. It's about the kids. And so, obviously, we can't take 7 divisions and keep that same format that we have. But the good thing for us is that we have a model in soccer that we followed, state semifinals out around the state. Our football, the weekend of state championship games that weekend. Football is a little bit different because you play one game a week. And so the charge for us then is And we've said this as a board, as a staff in here. We need to do what's right for kids, right for the student athletes, and it's our job to figure out how it works. And so we've looked at a lot of things, Marty, but really, you know, after here this afternoon, I'll be with our staff, and that pedal gets pushed down and to make it work, because we're still committed to making sure our student athletes have a great experience at every level of the tournament, not just the state, but we want our student athletes to feel special to get to a state semifinal basketball, volleyball game. And so, you know, that'll be our charge moving forward.
This will go into effect starting this fall, 2024. And Gina, what I mentioned earlier, being from a part of the state where it's not one of the larger areas of the state as far as population's concerned or whatnot. But I know you on the board, you heard from some area members from larger districts around the state of Ohio. There seemed to be a consensus that this was the thing to do right now.
We did. Surprisingly, even the really large schools, that really it doesn't affect them, understand why. And that positivity really is a reminder of we have a lot of great educators in this state that really are pushing for what's best for all kids. And hearing from them and hearing that, it doesn't really affect me, but I know this is the right thing to do. And then also hearing from administrators that say, when I looked at things, this really isn't exactly what I wanted, because it might affect us a little bit differently. Possibly we were one of the top schools in the division. We are, and we won't be anymore. But understanding the big picture of our student athletes and how we can make it better for everyone in the state, a large majority of the administrators understand that.
Yeah, this will be for both of you, and you can kind of take it one at a time if you want. But Ohio is very unique in the respect that you have so many large markets, and then you have so many smaller markets, I should say. So that diversity is there in the population all across the state. And that's one of the reasons why I think this does work, and maybe in some respects, maybe a little overdue, to kind of balance everything out a little bit more.
I'm happy to be a part of the group of people that said, okay, we're going to make a difference. The way we did it before just wasn't fair. And in a big school in my area doesn't touch a big school in the Southwest. So that's been one of the interesting things for me to be on the board overall, is to just see, yes, we're one state, but there's a lot of differences within this state. And the willingness of our member schools to say, we understand that, we recognize that, and this will help meet everyone's needs more is
sure.
A big deal.
Yeah, and I think, Marty, you hit it, Gina hit it too, the word state. You know, we have to look at the entire state. And we know this, our 819 member schools are going to personalize it. And how does it affect me? I would, too, if I were a school superintendent. How does it affect me in Newark, Ohio? You know, what's the effect and how does it benefit our students and those things? But in the office here, we have to look at it as how does it affect the entire state. And for the most part, divisions 2 through 7, the tournaments, the entry-level tournaments that we have now will look very similar to the way they are now, if you look at our state map. Division 1's a bit more of a challenge because, you know, if you think about Division 1 in our state, you have 3 schools in Northwest Ohio now in the top 64, and then it's Cleveland, Columbus, and Cincinnati. But it's our football model. When we get to 64 football teams, that Division 1 looks very similar to that. And I think our charge here, and because we've heard this from our membership, is how do we keep those backyard brawls in early rounds of the tournament? And you know, when we look at this as a tournament logistically, it's actually 3 less games in a state than we're doing now. And so the Division 1 and 2s will start at a district semifinal level, and the Divisions 3 through 7 will be more of that opening round, you could say, extending out the district tournament, however you want to say it. And so instead of an 8-game format, it'll be a 7-game format, those things. And so, but the majority of the state, Marty, won't see a difference in those early rounds because you'll still be playing those backyard brawls.
And Gina, Doug has said this to me a number of times. I know this is something the board echoes as well, too. It's about the kids. And that's what you always have to keep first and forefront when you talk about any type of changes. And that's, I think that was probably the biggest part of this, wasn't it?
Absolutely. It was the focus the whole time. And as the board discussed several scenarios, there were things we agreed on, things we didn't. But the main focus, and it was constant, was we need to do what's best for our student athletes. And the board unanimously agreed this is it.
And Doug, you talked about it a moment ago, but now the work really starts with the process for all the divisions. Seven in baseball, basketball, softball, soccer is going to go to five. The pluses are many to this. There are great facilities around the state to stage these games. It's going to look completely different, but it starts in 2024, the fall of this year. That's just around the corner. So the work, as you mentioned a moment ago, you're going to hit the floor is going to hit the pedal, so to speak. You got to really get after this right now.
Yeah. But again, you know, we've engaged our staff through this process. We've engaged our district athletic boards, which we have six around the state. Gina's part of the Eastern District Board, and they're all fabulous at running tournaments. And really, you know, as we set this up, there's going to be a charge of the athletic boards at those early entry games. But again, not a whole lot changes. You know, and I think it's important to note that as we look at our 792 schools that entered the basketball tournament last year, somewhere in that neighborhood, when you divide up how many teams in each division enter the tournament, we're way high than our peers across the nation that way. Even going from 190 schools in a division, which is our current model, this will bring it in line to about 130, 128, 130. And that we're still on the high end nationally of, you know, in comparison that way. But again, we're still able, for the most part, to have those backyard brawls in and around. So that's important. And that's important for the Eastern District Board to realize that's their charge as well. And that's why the boards exist, to pretty much run our entry-level tournaments and pass them off to the regionals. And so I'm very confident that our district athletic boards are tremendous, with good people that are very smart, know what they're doing. And so hopefully many won't even see a change in that, other than I'm competing against schools I compete in a league with.
Doug Ute, Gina Franks, congratulations. It's a big day for the OHSAA. A lot of work to be done, but I know everybody's excited about it. Thanks for your time.
Thank you so
much. Thanks, Marty.
We would like to thank Doug Ute and Gina Franks for their time. Now we'll allow our local stations to share a few messages from their local sponsors. And when we return, we'll hear from several broadcasters around the state with updates from their area. This is the OHSAA Tournament Tip-Off Show.
School sports need your help. With budgets getting tighter, it's more than the games that are on the line. It's all the traditions, the community pride, the culture of your hometown high school, plus all those memories that are on the line, too. What can you do? It's simple. Buy a ticket when you can. Go to a game. Take the whole family. Let's do everything we can to keep those cherished school sports memories alive.
This message presented by the Ohio High School Athletic Association and the Ohio Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
The game is over, but this time, instead of asking how many goals did you score or what were your stats, try asking these questions. Were you a good teammate? Were you coachable? Did you give 100%? And did you have fun? Because those are the values that school sports instill in Ohio's young people, where winning and losing are secondary to the life lessons that will stay with kids long after their playing days are over. This is the Ohio High School Athletic Association. Educate through sports.
You practice hard, you play hard, you're always reaching for your goals. You reach for the next point, the next yard, the next win. And after the game, reach for low-fat chocolate milk. It has the fluids to rehydrate you, the right mix of protein and carbs to refuel you, and the vitamins and minerals to help you build strong bones and bodies. Fuel up with chocolate milk. For more information, visit drink-milk.com.
Welcome back to this edition of the OHSAA Tournament Tip-Off Show. I'm your host, Marty Bannister. A reminder that statewide brackets for all 64 district tournaments for both the boys and girls tournaments are posted on the basketball page at OHSAA.org, and tickets for all tournament games are available as well online at OHSAA.org/tickets. Let's check in now with broadcasters from around the state to talk about the top teams in their area. And we'll start with a boys basketball report from Central Ohio. Here's Chris Solwecki from the OHSAA Radio Network.
Thanks very much, Marty. We begin this week in Division 4, Region 16, Central 1, with the number 2 seed Plain City Shekinah Christian. The Flames are 19-3 overall, 10-2 in the Mid-Ohio Christian League. They opened the season with a record of 2-3, then have won 17 in a row. They'll play the winner of Columbus, Wellington, and Millersport after taking a first-round bye. Elsewhere in Division 4, we look to Region 15, Central 2, the number one seed, Northside Christian out of Westerville. Northside Christian also resides in the Mid-Ohio Christian League. They're 11-1 in conference play. The only league loss was to the aforementioned Shekinah Christian Flames back on January 5th. The Lions open tournament play against the number 18 seed Danville. Last week in Division 3, I mentioned Columbus Academy. The Vikings are the number one seed heading into tournament play in D3. That remains true, but they did take one on the proverbial chin this past week, falling to Worthington Christian 47-35. They close out their regular season against Columbus South on February 23rd. Number 3 seed Harvest Prep always seems to be in the mix come tourney time. The Warriors are on a 10-game winning streak. They are undefeated in the Mid-State League Cardinal Division. And in Division 2, we look at the number 2 seed River Valley Vikings out of Caledonia. The Vikes are 17-5 overall. They enter playoff action with a 5-game winning streak. They'll open tournament play against Columbus Beechcroft on March 2nd. For the OHSAA Tournament Tip-Off Show, I'm Chris Sulwecki.
We will stay in the Central District now on the girls' side. Here's Angie Sater and Candace Allen from Ohio Prep Girls and Girls Only Hoops.
Boy, does Central Ohio have some great matchups this week. In Division 3, we've got Grandview Heights against Utica. A couple players to watch out of this game is Emily Ritzer out of Utica, who's only a freshman, folks, and has had an outstanding season. And you also have Tatum Lusher out of Grandview Heights, who's only a sophomore, strong, aggressive player. We also have Columbus Academy against Worthington Christian. Watch for Jamie Custer, who's a senior this year out of Worthington Christian, to have a great game. The next game to watch out for is Fredericktown versus Tree of Life Christian. Look for Kiana Walker out of Tree of Life Christian, who's a senior, to get a lot of shots off. And you also have Callie Carpenter out of Fredericktown, who also knows how to put the ball in the bucket as well. And then we have Columbus International against Johnstown. Players to watch for this game, Abigail Atkins, senior out of Johnstown, one of the smoothest outside shooters that I think I've seen in a long time. And then you also have Layla Carter out of International. Coaches, I'm telling you, she's the real deal. High energy and scores a lot of buckets. And then for Division 4, we have Shekinah Christian against Grove City Christian. Players to watch for this is Riley Thompson out of Grove City Christian, as well as Haley Beachy out of Shekinah Christian. Both aggressive players strong players that know how to get the job done on the court. We also have Groveport Madison Christian against Mount Gilead. Watch for Kylie Ray, who's a senior out of Madison Christian, as well as Faith White out of Mount Gilead. And then we also have Fairfield Christian Academy against Delaware Christian. Players to watch out of this game are Addie Beard out of Delaware Christian and Nakaya Cash out of Fairfield Christian. Guys, great lineups coming up our way this week. I'm Angie Sater out of Prep Girls Hoops.
And now in Division 2, a couple of matchups with players to watch. London will face Columbus East. Casey Patterson from London. Listen, shoot or shoot, that is her, so watch out. And from East, Kalia Barron, she plays full court, can handle the pressure and contact, very unselfish. Another matchup is Eastmoor Academy, who will face Heath. This is the battle of the defenders. Eastmoor's Aaliyah Brock has a motor. She can go, a terrific defender. And then Peyton Del Cicado from Heath, excellent in on-ball pressure and can really finish at the basket. River Valley will face Bexley. Megan Clausen from River Valley is the true definition of a gamer. Can hit you from the outside, can play defense. She can really do it all. And then Bexley senior Reese McClellan, she's a beast on the boards who can really ignite her team's offense with her passing, which can lead to fast breaks. And now in Division 1, there's Walnut Ridge who will face Lancaster. Lancaster's Jenna Graben, she's a hard worker who can really knock it down from the outside. And then Walnut Ridge's Nia Hubbard, excellent defender, strong scorer, can really play on both sides of the basketball. And Grove City will face Newark. Thea Powell Moore from Grove City. She is strong. She is powerful. She is confident. Truly a player to watch. And for Newark, that super freshman Emma Quackenbush can flat out ball. One of the most intriguing matchups here in the early going for the girls tournament is Canal Winchester, who will face Groveport Madison. Canal Winchester is led by OCC Player of the Year London Johnson. She attacks the boards and the basket with the exact same intensity. And Groveport Madison, led by Zay Shepherd, first team all-conference, can really take over the game offensively, and Groveport's offense runs through her. From Girls Only Hoops, I am Candace Allen. Enjoy the tournament.
And here is our Southeast Ohio update from Marietta. Here's WMOA 1490's Aaron Cassidy.
Thanks, Marty. We'll start in Division 2 for the ladies in Southeast Ohio. It was Fairland victorious, the number one seed. They cruise in the first round. They will now play the Lady Warriors from Warren, who come from behind, down 17 in the fourth quarter. They force 43 turnovers to advance. It'll be Fairland and Warren on the 22nd. In Division 3, Portsmouth, top-seeded Portsmouth on the ladies' side of things, victorious 57-13, number two-seeded Peebles. They beat Rock Hill 45-31. Cruising in Division 4, Waterford, they take care of business 60-20 in their first-round game. And then it was Notre Dame. How about this score? 62-3 to advance. We'll take a look now at Southeast Ohio for the boys. Top-seeded Marietta, the Tigers, victorious in their first game of the tournament. They beat Galley Academy 60-29 on Tuesday night. The Warren Warriors, the number two seed, they're also victorious over Waverly 56-38. Division 3, those top two seeds, Wheelersburg and Minford, did not know their opponents until this week. Now they do. Wheelersburg will take on Valley. Minford will take on Nelsonville York. Same hold true for Division 4, as the top three seeds will get underway this week, as South Webster will take on St. Joseph Central. It was Fairland, the number two seed. They will take on Belpre. And finally, Federal Hocking, the number three seed in Southeast Ohio in Division 4 for the boys, will take on Glenwood. Reporting for the southeast part of the state, for WMOA out of Marietta and the OHSAA Radio Network, I'm Aaron Cassidy.
And thanks to those broadcasters for their reports this week. We're going to take one final break for these messages from the Ohio High School Athletic Association. And when we come back, we'll wrap up this edition of the OHSAA Tournament Tip-Off Show. We'll be right back.
The year was 1907. The Chicago Cubs won the World Series, and the Ford Model R hit the assembly line. While here in Ohio, school administrators came together to form the Ohio High School Athletic Association. A lot has changed since 1907, but not the dedication of the OHSAA to education-based athletics in Ohio. School sports teach responsibility, sportsmanship, and life lessons that stay with students long after their playing days are over. Since 1907, the OHSAA seeks to prepare students not for the next level of sport, but for the next level of life.
What do basketball, choir, drama club, and marching band all have in common? They're all high school activities that offer learning opportunities not necessarily found in the classroom. They take up just a fraction of a typical Ohio high school's budget, and they go a long way to giving young people the tools they need to thrive. High school activities, they're more than extracurricular. They're extra important, too. This message presented by the Ohio High School Athletic Association and the Ohio Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
I've got a math question for you. When you add tolerance, subtract prejudice, and multiply efforts to treat one another with respect, what do you get? Less division. And school sports have it down to a science. Looking for an example of what can happen when we realize there's more that unites us than divides us? Look no further than high school sports in Ohio.
This message presented by the Ohio High School Athletic Association and the Ohio Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
How do you define strength? Is it physical?
I'm hot!
Or is it mental? Maybe it's both. Maybe it's whatever empowers a person to dig deeper, fight harder, and overcome obstacles that once seemed insurmountable. Discover how much stronger and more confident your children can be. Encourage them to participate in a sport when they go to high school.
This message presented by the Ohio High School Athletic Association and the Ohio Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
We would like to thank Doug Ute and Gina Franks for their time on this week's show, as well as the broadcasters who submitted regional reports and all of our OHSA Radio Network affiliates. We will see you next week on the Tournament Trail. Production and technical assistance provided by Yamo Media and Adam Dell. On behalf of the Ohio High School Athletic Association, I'm Marty Bannister. The OHSA Tournament Tip-Off Show is a production of the OHSAA Radio Network.